Want to be a part of the conversation? Then let us know on the TNT Radio Interactive Live chat room at tntradio.live. Lighting the fuse for freedom. Today's news talk, TNT Radio. You're with Patrick Henningsen on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
All right, welcome back. Welcome back Tuesday. Here we go, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us this week and today, especially on TNT, today's News Talk. I'm Patrick Henningsen, your host. Buckle up and get ready for 2 hours of action-packed news and analysis right here going global on TNT. Thank you for joining us, and hello to everybody in the TNT chat room. I see you guys piling in there. Excellent, excellent. We like to see that. Good numbers today. And we're going to be joined in the first hour by a very special guest, a former NATO and military specialist in Germany, and he's also a popular Twitter Spaces host, Marcus Krauss, about some disturbing news about an upcoming drill which NATO is running that I think people need to be aware of. It's got all the makings of something akin to, Baltops 22 last summer is when we believe they planted the explosives for the Nord Stream pipelines. Well, there's another drill coming up that's equally as disturbing, and it has to do with aircraft. And it's definitely right on the threshold of Ukraine. And Marcus believes, as we do, that there might be something going on here. So we're going to delve into that and try to get our early warning system activated on that story. And in the second hour, Blake Lovewell is going to join us. And lo and behold, as if it wasn't bad enough, we have a connection between Bill Gates and the CBDC agenda, central bank digital currency. Yes. And the bridgeway is Microsoft. So Blake's going to talk a little bit about that with us. And I'm very interested to see what that connection is, especially since Microsoft featured heavily at Bilderberg last week. Why are they at the top table? Well, we think we know. We think we know. So that's something to look forward to. So yes, we're going to get some very good experts in there. And of course, a new guest with Marcus hopefully in the first hour. Actually, we'll connect him as early as we can in this hour because such an important topic to delve into. Now, the provocations continue, and the crazy, crazy regime in Kiev launched a drone attack on Moscow. I mean, as if it wasn't already looking dim for peace negotiations, they had to go and do this. So we're told something in the area of between 20 and 30 drones were set upon Moscow by the Ukrainians. Okay, this was this morning. And the raid was a response to recent strikes on decision-making centers in Kiev. So Russia's been hammering the Ukrainian military facilities and so forth. So, I mean, now they're attacking inside Moscow. Okay. I cannot stress to you how absolutely insane this truly is and what it means for basically precluding any peace negotiation. So it was a failed drone attack. Well, Russia says they shot them all down except for a couple. Some damage was done. They hit residential buildings. So this was a terrorist attack. This is a NATO-backed terrorist attack by UAVs, drones, and clearly targeting tower blocks, apartment blocks. So Russia's hitting military targets, and they've said they're going to do that if Kiev's ever attacked inside Russia. And of course they did, so Russia responded. And then when Russia responds, then they go and they send the drone attack to Moscow. So Washington's fully aware of all this, and they're letting it happen. This is so dangerous. This is what the spokesperson for the Kremlin said. It is clear that we are talking about the response of the Kiev regime to our very effective strikes on one of the decision-making centers in Kiev. That's the stronghold of the regime in Kiev. This took place on Sunday. The Russian attack was on Sunday. So Dmitry Peskov told journalists during this press conference here, and Putin himself confirmed that Russian forces struck Ukraine's military intelligence headquarters in Kiev 2 or 3 days ago. So that happened. And apparently it was serious. And this was a major blow. And the skies are full today, this morning, as well, with Russian responses to Ukraine. Okay. Peskov later said that he was not aware if the drone launch sites had been determined, but argued that the attack once again confirms the need to continue military operations in Ukraine until its goals are achieved. The demilitarization of Ukraine, and of course the denazification of Ukraine. Now, it seems like the strategy coming from Ukraine is asymmetric terrorist attacks in Russian territory. There have now been dozens of these such attacks since late March and beginning of April, right through the month of May, in various locations inside Russian Federation. And some of these are arbitrary, as well as artillery attacks and missiles against civilians in Donetsk and Luhansk regions of the Russian Federation, formerly Ukraine. They declared independence, although it's not recognized by the West or Kiev, of course. But targeting civilians, and the latest is, I mean, this doesn't get any better. These people, I don't know what they're thinking. They just attacked, Kiev attacked a shelter for temporarily displaced people in the Belgorod region. Analysts are speculating whether this was bad intelligence provided by the United States satellite reconnaissance, claiming that this was somehow a military facility, but it was actually a shelter for displaced people in Belgorod. This is according to the governor of the region, who spoke here to the media directly on this. Now, we don't have much information on this. This is literally breaking in the last 15 minutes, this Belgorod story. But it's in Russian territory. So if the intention is to escalate fighting and escalate hostilities, Washington and Kiev and London, Britain's egging it on as well. They want to see some fireworks. They're doing it. They're very successful. They're escalating this conflict. So there's very little chance that you can back down and climb down from this. The other reason is Russia just doesn't trust the West or anybody on negotiations. Why? Because the last major bilateral negotiations they had with Europe and Ukraine on what was the Minsk Accords, and they lied. They lied, and it turned out to be a ruse. So the likelihood that they're going to be able to engage in any meaningful diplomacy or whatever, it's unlikely. Why would you go to the table when the counterparty has already broken all the previous agreements behind your back and lied about it publicly? So that's the problem when there's a failure of diplomacy, is that in the future, you're not going to be able to get cooperation. It's common sense. But I don't hear or see any genuine diplomatic overtures coming from NATO, i.e. US-UK. It's not there. So that means, ladies and gentlemen, we're just going to get escalation. Kiev wants to pull the U.S. into the war. They want to pull the U.S. all the way in. So I think they are going to, with these F-16s that they get, they're going to try to use them to strike targets within Russia, even though the U.S. said they cannot. That's a red line. But I think they'll do it. The reason is because it will evoke a serious Russian response, possibly a missile attack into Poland, triggering the NATO Article 5 situation. Obviously, it's not a fait accompli whether NATO would invoke Article 5 and respond against Russia militarily, but Russia may be forced to pull that card. And this is what I think the increasingly desperate regime in Kiev want. You have to remember, this is a corrupt regime in Kiev that are being propped up by Western money, mainly United States money and EU money. They are awash with dollars and cash, and they are embezzling it as fast as possible because they know the end is nigh. They're stuffing it, embezzling it, funneling it out of the country into their bank accounts in Switzerland and Cyprus. They know the end is nigh. So they're all making hay while the sun shines and preparing their exit. That's what these people do. So you very well may get a military coup where what's left of the Ukrainian military is going to say, this is enough. There's no point in running the meat grinder for another 6 months. Let's just sue for peace. None of these politicians and bureaucrats is some of the most corrupt people in the world. In fact, the Ukraine has always topped the world index for corruption. So, I mean, we're talking about a known quantity here. This is not a speculative exercise or anything like that. So that's what you're dealing with here. So everything that you see in the Western mainstream media about this conflict is patently false. All the pundits opining are false. They're gaslighting the public, whether it's in Europe or the United States or Canada or wherever. Gaslighting, propaganda. Everybody who has an interest in escalation is shilling from the rafters on this. And you can spot them and you'll know them by their lies. You will know them by their unhinged, crazed rhetoric. These are people that have lost their moral compass, that no longer have a spine, and really don't care, much less give a you-know-what about the people of Ukraine or anyone in Europe for that matter. That's what we're dealing with here. These are the lowest of the low that have emerged in the punditry as politicians, the war hawks, you know, typified by characters like Lindsey Graham, a compromised individual, a disgrace to his country. And may I say, he is the mascot for this dark moment in humanity. Let's take a break with TNT, Today's News Talk, and we'll try to connect our first guest on the other side. I'm Patrick Henningsen, your host. Stick around. We'll be right back.
You should hear what James Freeman is talking about on The Freeman Report.
Following much speculation over the past week, most analysts expect the Home Office to confirm between 700,000 and a million people have been granted the right to live in the UK over the past year alone. That's right, 700,000 to 1 million new people. How on earth can this be sustainable? The pressure this will put on our already creaking public services is difficult to measure, but it surely cannot be a good thing for the country. Whether we're talking about housing, education, the NHS, or our public transport system, all are already stretched in terms of capacity and service delivery. How on earth can the country absorb this many new people in 1 year? Now, I don't have a problem with immigration. In fact, I think it's a good thing if it's managed properly, particularly when birth rates are collapsing across the world, which will result in the future economic and social problems due to an imbalance between the young and the old. But this many new people coming to the UK in such a short time period is just not sustainable.
The Freeman Report and James Freeman on Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Affordable housing, we can build that. Sustainable housing, we can build that. At MIT Modular, we understand the importance of housing for all and the importance of design, cost, and functionality. Our goal is to meet the needs of our growing population by converting shipping containers to livable units. If you're like-minded and in a position to invest in something meaningful and life-changing, we want to hear from you. We are a team of professional architects, engineers, and financial and tax experts dedicated to offering unique solutions that provide a brighter future. Our Opportunity Zone Fund offers investors both real estate and operating business diversification, 5-year tax deferral on capital gains, annual tax benefits, and ultimately tax-free appreciation potential. There are Opportunity Zones all over America. If you're interested in learning more about our services, need affordable housing, or want to participate in creating a new vision for tomorrow, give us a call in the U.S. on 385-985-5702. Or read more at mitmodular.com. MIT Modular. We can build that.
With a compelling perspective on global politics, this is the Patrick Henningsen Show on TNT Radio.
All right, welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We're still in the first hour of this live broadcast. Thank you guys for hanging with us. We got a long way to go today. We've got so much ground to cover. There are some absolutely groundbreaking stories lots of things that we need to delve into, stuff that you guys out there in the world need to know, and we're going to do our best to break it down for you. I want to invite a new guest to the program. He is ex-German military and NATO. He's also a host on Twitter Spaces. This is how I got to know our next guest. His name is Marcus Krauss. He's calling us from the heart of Europe and to talk about something that's come kind of on the radar. A lot of you know about the Baltops 22 exercise, which was last summer, and we believe that's when the explosives were planted on the Nord Stream pipeline during that summertime drill, that huge NATO drill. So it was very consequential. So these are just, these aren't for show. There's actually things going on because Europe has been dragged into a war, a proxy war between NATO and Russia on the Ukrainian soil. Now, we're going to bring Marcus in on the line right now to talk about another NATO drill that's coming up. Plus, we're going to kind of probably break down some other interesting aspects and developments on the conflict in Ukraine. But we've got him on the line right now. Marcus Krauss, how are you doing?
Fine, thank you. Nice to hear you, Patrick. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. We're fortunate here. We've actually got some decent weather in the UK. It's a very rare thing, Marcus. So we absolutely savor every moment of it and try to stay outdoors as much as possible. So yeah, we're enjoying it. And Marcus, on this story, and I know that most people never really pay attention to these drills because they just seem to, nothing seems to happen, or they're just going through the motions. Now, since the last, 14 months, everybody's paying a little bit more attention to these NATO drills. There's one coming up that looks like it's potentially something to the warning signs are there. Marcus, explain to us what's going on in the coming weeks and months.
Well, NATO has planned their largest drill, actually, since the Second World War. They are deploying so many stuff. There are so many stuff coming over from the States. There are over 100 planes coming from the States. They are blocking the German airspace even every day for a couple hours. It is insane what's going on. And it's called the Air Defender 2023. And it's a crucial time at the moment due to the situation in Ukraine. The planes are actually flying over Germany most of the part. They are transferring every day planes to Latvia, to Estland, not Latvia, to Estland, and to Hungary, to Romania. And who knows? We will have to track what kind of planes are going through there. Are they moving equipment? I don't know. They are fighting over the eastern part of the German side. They try to fight with all kind of nations together. It's really a big drill.
Now I'm looking at this and thinking, well, this would provide the opportunity to put a lot of assets into place that maybe NATO is intending to put into place, but doing it sort of under the guise of this drill. And there is talk of many NATO members, everybody's got planes they want to donate to Ukraine, Slovakia, Lithuania, Poland, United States, Britain, France. So many of these countries are wanting to beef up the Ukrainian aircraft stock. Okay, so that, do you think that has anything or any relation to this drill, Marcus?
Well, I don't know. All these planes that are going to be delivered to Ukraine are actually old planes, and they're just being delivered to be destroyed, because actually the U.S. has demilitarized whole of Europe, and everybody has to give their old planes away. And this is just to re-weaponize the whole of Europe with the F-35s and all these Abrams tanks and so on. And you have to understand that all this new equipment is actually fighting all together, is interconnected over the internet. And I'm really worried about this situation. I mean, this is the only one chance to sell it for a high price to Ukraine. But these drills are actually to work together with all kind of nations and with all kind of jets to see how they can work together and to defend Article 5. Actually, to if one country gets attacked, they all defend this country, this NATO country.
That's interesting. So it seems like this type of mobilization means that if they're preparing for the big, you know, the big eventuality, which is what you said, that NATO would invoke Article 5 and all for one, one for all, etc. If they had to do that, that means I would guess that that would be after some kind of a Russian attack, a missile attack on or something on a facility or a target within a NATO area, like, for instance, Poland. And if that's the case, that means that they're, at least in NATO's mind or in their plans, might be a provocation. And we just saw, Marcus, today, there was a huge drone attack on Moscow. And I don't know how many drones, I think between 20 and 30 drones, mostly shot down, a couple of hit residential apartment buildings, high-rise buildings. And that's the kind of things we're seeing on a more regular basis. Are you worried about the possibility that there's just going to be endless provocations? Are they trying to bait Russia to react?
I mean, I think they are not. It is so insane to escalate and not de-escalate. And since this is the biggest drill since World War II, and there are so many planes and countries involved, it is a very big provocation. And it's a provocation exactly at Estland, for example, which borders directly Russia. It's insane. And then you see that in Romania is also bordering Ukraine, and they are flying back and forth through these routes, and who knows what they are doing over there. Nobody knows.
And I don't think the press are really going to be asking any tough questions on this, because if the West or NATO believes they're at war, then obviously it's total secrecy. And the media has been told, Marcus, behave and wait for information from our official, you know, briefings, and don't ask any questions because, you know, it could get people killed, or that's the assumption, of course. It is really kind of unbelievable that we find ourselves in the situation, Marcus, where the Western governments, led by the U.S. and the U.K. and others, are saying we're not at war. Ukraine's at war with Russia, but we, Marcus, we are at war, aren't we? The West is at war.
Well, the West denies that they are at war, but how can you not be at war if you are delivering this massive equipment from all kind of NATO countries into a non-NATO country? I mean, it's insane, which is actually neighboring Russia.
So the drill is called Air Defender 2023. And I see that the U.S. has made a big, there's a lot of hype about these F-16s. We're told that they are older F-16s, a Block 30 F-16s. They're not even the latest, not even the second or third generation of F-16s, but like the first or second. So they're older. Even Mark Milley, the Joint Chiefs, said in a press briefing, this was a couple of days ago, late last week, actually, he said that the F-16s are not going to, you know, they're going to be irrelevant. They're not going to change the conflict. 10 secondhand U.S. fourth generation fighter jets are not going to make a difference. And he said that also it costs a lot of money, you know, $2 billion to service 10 aircraft for a year, something like that. So it's like, you know, from a financial point of view, it doesn't add up. So from a strategic point of view, it doesn't seem like it's a game changer. It's only going to escalate. And you know, the thing I'm worried about, Marcus, is that the Americans are providing these jets, and the president is saying, Biden, he's saying, well, we'll give these to you, but only if you don't use these to hit U.S. hit targets inside Russia. You can use the U.S. weapons, but don't use them to hit targets inside Russia. What's to stop Ukraine from doing it anyway. And because the U.S. isn't going to, you know, not support them if they do that. Do you think that there's an interest, Marcus, in Kiev? The more desperate and longer this goes on, do you think there's an interest in Kiev to drag the U.S., maybe drag them deeper into the conflict? And if so, you know, can they be trusted in Kiev? What do you think?
Well, I think this is a big show. I mean, Zelensky is just a puppet of the U.S. We have to understand this. Even the F-16s, the Ukrainians don't have long enough runways. They don't have the service equipment. It is hard to maintain these aircrafts. They are heavily, you need to maintain them if you really run them. And I think it's just to launder these F-16s and to sell them for the highest price to them. This is the only chance to get rid of these planes. So they are actually, like this other guy said, they're not of a big interest and they're not a big game changer in this conflict. Definitely not.
Yeah, so it seems like all the sort of usual suspects, I don't know if this is going to, you know, create a provocation, this drill, but certainly it's kind of disturbing. I mean, that's kind of unprecedented. And again, Marcus, you're told in Germany that you're not at war, but yet you're closing the airspace. So that doesn't happen during peacetime, closing airspace. But is that, that's exactly what's happening.
It doesn't happen very often. There are often sometimes little airspaces closed for any exercises or so, but not this mass of airspaces. I mean, over the eastern part of Germany, there are dogfights and in the North Sea, over this area above Holstein. And in the south, probably near Ramstein, there is a big area too, where they have mainly transportations or something going on to Romania. So we don't know what are they doing over there. To me, this is a very big provocation, especially since this time is so crucial and the tensions are getting higher and higher, and just provocation and no escalation. This is what really worries me.
Here's the thing that I'm worried about, Marcus. I want to get your opinion on this. Just looking at the progress of the battle map, and it's clear, Marcus, that, and no one can deny, at least anyone who's honest, cannot deny that 2023, Russia has made huge advances, and not just advances in land, but they have eliminated a lot of Ukrainian military assets and personnel through the fighting. Sadly, tragically, this is the truth. And I know that wasn't necessarily the case, or it wasn't clearly the case in much of 2022, where Ukraine seemed to be on the offense a lot. So considering the progress of the conflict right now, and the looking at the map, the last remaining key piece really for Russia is Odessa on the south coast, just along the Black Sea there, very close to Romania, Marcus. So when you're telling me about all these movements and maneuvers in Romania, I am expecting a provocation, because I know that Russia would also like to secure Odessa. Forced to secure Crimea, they would have to have a friendly, neutral Odessa. And so that might be the last straw where NATO possibly, you know, will throw up their last big move, because if Russia takes Odessa, that's the whole, there's no more coastline for Ukraine. That's a totally different situation there. What are your feelings on that side of things?
Yeah, I have very curious feelings about that. And this is also my main concern, these back and forth flights to Romania. It's really right at the Russian border, at the Ukrainian border. And it is, who knows what they are preparing there. Even if this drill is over, they might have placed a lot of weapons and bringing material over to Romania. Who knows? And I don't know. There are also F-35s probably coming. There are a lot of new planes and new stuff coming over from the States. And yeah, it's they can see deeply into the land also from these areas. It's yeah, very crucial.
I mean, I'm just kind of, you know, looking ahead in the future. If this continues and get these kind of escalations, and then what happens if, you know, if there is a major attack on targets in Russia, civilians are killed or something like this, a lot of them, or something major happens. Not to trivialize what has happened already, but if that's the case and Russia feels compelled to perhaps strike back, you know, then you have Poland and even Germany. Germany becomes a kind of a military target because the U.S. have, you know, significant military, you know, outposts in Germany too. And I'm just thinking, Marcus, I wanted to ask you, you know, have the German people thought ahead on this, or is it the case of the German people are concerned, but the politicians are not? What's going on in Germany? Because Germany seems to have a lot to lose from this current situation. What are your thoughts on this?
Well, you have to understand, in Germany, you don't hear a lot about this drill. And Germany is actually the head of this drill this year. So it's the German military who leads actually this drill. I mean, we all know that the US is in the back of it, but they are pushing the Germans to lead this drill. And I think this also has something to say. I mean, the Russians lost 27 million in the Second World War by the Germans, killing 27 million Russians. It's insane. And despite, I mean, if you look at the situation, the Russians were no problem for the Germans until 2014. Then everything changed. There was built up this Russophobia by the US, by the censorship of the press. It is really insane how everything has shifted to hate Russia in Germany. A lot of people that I talk to hate the Russians. I mean, it's mostly people that don't know actually what was going on in 1991, when actually I was at the military, and there was this promise that NATO would not expand one inch towards the east. These people that were actually alive and knew what this would mean, these people are mostly awake and they know kind of like what's going on. But the others are really following the narrative from the mainstream media that the Russians are evil and are bad.
What's weird about this, Marcus, is, you know, 10 or 20 years ago, you know, the Greens, you know, the Green Party and, you know, other people with purple hair and the kind of, you know, liberal left kind of, you know, that side of the paradigm, political paradigm, they never supported military interventions. They never supported war. They were always against it. And now those are the Green Party and all those, that constellation of liberal factions, they're the ones who are pro-war now. And the more conservative people are saying no, de-escalate. It's like the whole thing flipped, Marcus, in the last 10 years. What do you think?
I mean, it even flipped just before the elections. If you look at the placards, what the Greens had out, it was anti-war, it was anti-nuclear power, it was anti-coal power plants and everything. And since they are in power now, they are pro-war. It's insane. They have been lying to the Germans. I mean, the problem was just 40% of the Germans voted. This is the first problem. And the second problem is, I think, was 14.8% of all these 40% who voted for the Greens. So it's actually not many people voted actually for the Greens. And they are doing what they want to do now. They are doing not what they were voted for. And this is insane. We need politicians. A good politician tries to avoid wars in the first place through diplomacy. This is not happening at all. I mean, Putin, the Russians made, USSR made a few attempts after 1991 for peace contracts. Even the Russians, if you listen to Putin's speech, 2001, what he wants and what his vision is for the future, it's insane. He is talking about sovereign nations, about treaty contracts together, about peace contracts, and everything is being ignored, really ignored by the West. I mean, the US always denied it, and UK. They always denied and made it not possible that we could actually have peace contracts with Russia, now Russia. It's insane.
I mean, you know, your former chancellor, Angela Merkel, she seemed to have a very cordial relationship with the Russian president, Vladimir Putin, over a fairly long period of time. So they were talking regularly. They seemed to get along. The two countries seemed to be working together. They did a joint pipeline project together. They're very significant trading partners as well. In a number of areas of industry and so forth, and that in itself is kind of an extraordinary thing, Marcus, because, you know, considering World War II and how the two countries fought so hard, to see them as, you know, economic partners and, you know, supporting each other at least politically, that seemed to be a success after the, if you think about all the successes after the Second World War, that has to be up at the top of the list for Europe. It really does. And then to see this reversed in such a short space of time, and I don't think it was anything that Germany actually did to trigger this, although they've now been sucked into it, but it seems like the Americans, the British, and the Norwegians as well, they become quite hawkish, and the Polish, that group of the NATO hawks, they seem to have pushed Germany into a situation where they have to kind of conform to the other NATO member states. But I just get the feeling, you know, when I talk to Germans and I, you know, I see the protests, some protests in Germany, I just get the feeling there's an undercurrent there that realizes that this is wrong, that things are going backwards now. And I don't know, I'm hoping, Marcus, that there's going to be some kind of a public, at least an uprising or some kind of a upswell of common sense, because if we escalate any further, then you can't go back. And that's the thing that I think is most people who are concerned about this, Marcus, are worried about. But your final thoughts before we wrap up this segment, go ahead.
Well, it's funny that you say this, because we have a lot of demonstration going on in Germany all the time, all week long, but you will not see it due to the press censorship. The same thing happens in Poland. In Poland, a lot of people were on the streets, in Czechoslovakia, all these bordering countries, and a lot of people went onto the streets, but you won't see it. You won't see it due to the press censorship. This is the biggest problem. I mean, these sanctions, if the Germans would know, if the Americans would tell the Germans that these sanctions are actually for them and not for Russia, we all know there is no effect, or not a big effect, with these sanctions to Russia. Russia is a sustainable country, a sovereign country, has enough resources and everything. They are doing trades with all over the world countries. NATO is not, it's just a little bit, I mean, there are not so many nations. 25 nations are with this drill. And if the Germans would know that actually their industry is getting hurt and these sanctions are to deindustrialize Germany and Europe, to be sold cheaply to the US by patents, they're buying patents and companies. I mean, look, BASF is moving to China. Other companies are moving to the US. That's what it's all about. It is insane what's going on. But if the Germans would know this, nobody would stand behind these sanctions all over the world. We need the free speech back all over the world, not only in Germany. We need free speech. This is the most important thing. Free Julian Assange. he actually exposed what's going on.
I can imagine.
And that's why you see it like this, because you don't see the demonstrations because they are suppressed. You don't see what's going on. NATO has pushed Germany to form a police within the military. It went in power last October to put demonstrations down. A special police force has been built from the German military, forced by NATO, which NATO is run by US, UK, and Canada. All other nations within NATO have to do what the US and UK says. That's how it is. They have the highest security clearance. We can only agree for new members. We have 100% agreement. But it's insane what's going on and what they can do without being stopped.
What do you, do you know the name of this this specific police force, Marcus?
It's a special force. I have to look it up. What was the name? That's a special short name.
Yeah, because that's pretty significant. And that, you know, and if, you know, if these types of special units are kind of assigned to, you know, putting down demonstrations, like people actually protesting against military escalation, that's pretty shocking, actually. And I think this is something that definitely we want to be shouting about, raising awareness about, because if it's happening in Germany, it could be happening next in other NATO countries at the same time. And then you've got a bigger problem. So that's very disturbing if that's the case. But I have to say, I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised by the way things are going. I'm absolutely not shocked at all. And we're getting some intel from our chat room at TNT, and some people are saying yes, they believe that that's the case. There's a lot going on that side of things. So the militarization of, you know, various parts of the domestic policing in these NATO member states, but probably with the orders coming from up higher at the NATO level, the U.S. level, that's not a good trend. It's definitely not a good trend. But we can follow up on that later. That's certainly something to look into. We'll stay in touch on the back channels, Marcus, on this. And yeah, you're right. We need press to cover these things. We need press to cover the voices of the people. We need free speech. Free Julian Assange, 100%. We'll be doing more on that side too in the coming weeks. But Marcus Krauss, we really appreciate you joining us on TNT Today's News Talk. And everybody follow Marcus on, we'll put a link on the on our show page when we feature the interview, but look up Marcus on Twitter. You'll see him there as well. He's also a Twitter Spaces host and runs some great discussions with a lot of great people. And so everyone's welcome to join in on those discussions almost daily. So do check it out. Follow Marcus. And if you're following me as well, you'll probably see me in some of the discussions with Marcus too. But thank you very much for joining us, Marcus.
Thank you for having me, Patrick. It was nice being on the show with you.
Our pleasure. Thank you. And there he goes, ladies and gentlemen, Marcus Krauss. Look, we're going to take another break here with TNT Today's News Talk, and we are going to round out the hour with a couple of more stories on the other side. So stick around. We'll be right back.
Give me a minute with TNT Radio's Steve Malzberg.
I know it's early. The 2024 presidential election is still over 17 months away, but poll after poll shows that President Joe Biden is in deep trouble. The latest CNN poll says 66% of Americans view a Biden win in 2024 as either a disaster or a setback for the United States. And in the latest Fox News poll, 79% of Americans said Biden's policies are either hurting them or making no difference, while 83% say the economy is just fair or poor, which led Forbes media chairman Steve Forbes to make this prediction on Fox.
Next year, Joe Biden will not be the Democratic Party nominee.
Whoa. You're on record.
On record. Because the economy, yeah, they can sweep the Hunter stuff away, but that has a stench out there. So you have a poor economy, you have a president people feel is not up to the job anymore, certainly not for the next 4 years. So I don't know what the scenario is going to be, but they cannot have him running in November of 2020. Okay,
the more I see the numbers and watch Biden, the more I agree with Forbes and others who say the same. Can you say Gavin Newsom? Thanks for giving me a minute. I'm Steve Malzberg for TNT Radio.
Hey, Dave, how you doing?
Who is this?
I'm your phone.
What?
I am your phone, don't you listen?
Yeah, no, what do you want?
I just want to talk. Oh, I can do this. Ring, 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 ring,
stop it.
Well, pick me up then.
No.
Fine. Ring, 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 ring.
Okay, what?
You are so sprung.
What?
Oh, Dave, $351 and 3 demerit points.
Oh, no, no.
Don't give in to your phone. You can live without it. A message from the Motor Accident Commission and the Government of South Australia.
Speaking on the issues that impact, this is the Patrick Henningsen Show on TNT Radio.
All right, folks, welcome back. Look, we're in the final stretch of the first hour here, and really appreciate Marcus Krauss for joining us. Marcus has been, you know, following the events regarding Ukraine and also in the European side for really a long time. And also, he's a former ex-German military and NATO, so he's got some interesting insights on this. He's very concerned about the way things are going. And when you have people like this, you know, people with experience that really understand and have seen previous conflicts and understand the gravity of this, and they're really raising the alarm. And he's not the only one. I'm also in touch with others like him, and this is really disturbing. These are people that normally you don't hear from them that much, and they are really concerned and they're speaking out about it. So, you know, definitely support Marcus and anyone else like this that you see. They really deserve your absolute support. We'll have Marcus on the program again, and to get that European perspective. It's very important, because that European perspective is not available at all in the mainstream media, and you don't see a lot in the alternative media either. But that's not how we're going to do business on this. We're going to bring in that European perspective with Freddie Ponton. We've got Marcus Krauss, others who are going to bring on the program as well. People who really know what they're talking about, and also that care deeply about, you know, what's going to happen to the people in Europe, because the people in Washington don't care, and this is what we're starting to learn now, and neither do the people in London. The politicians, they cannot stay. It's almost like they hold Europeans in contempt. It really feels like that sometimes, that they're bullying them into this proxy war, telling them they can't sign their own energy deals with other countries like Russia, for instance, that they have to buy all their energy from the United States. Ladies and gentlemen, this is what gangs do. This is like the mafia. They're running a protection racket, the U.S., Britain, and NATO. And they've got little wise guy junior partners like Norway. You know, they're trying to get more people into the gang like Sweden and Finland. They've roped them into the same protection racket. That's where things are headed right now. You know, we had peace in Europe, but that wasn't good enough for the U.S. and its special relationship buddy pal Britain. Wasn't good enough. Peace wasn't good enough. So now they pushed the entirety of Europe right up against Russia, and they want war. Make no mistake about it. They're escalating because they want war. And when the war breaks out, and when the bombs really drop, the US and Britain are going to back off and watch the fireworks and watch the Europeans tear each other to pieces. That's what they want to see. It's the same old story. It's the same old story. Breaking news. Civilian shelter in Belgorod hit by Ukrainian terrorist attack. Ukrainians are shelling civilians in Belgorod and killing and injuring multiple civilians, says the governor of the region. This is not coming from the Kremlin. This is from the regional governor. The Ukrainian military are shelling civilians inside of Russian territory, and they managed to destroy and kill people who were staying in a temporary shelter for displaced refugees. They're displaced because of the previous terrorist attacks in the Belgorod region in Russia, you see. So there seems to be an agenda by Washington where they're ordering Ukraine to hit these targets, or Ukraine's hitting them themselves to escalate, to try to pull Washington in, or provoke Russia to hit a NATO target, thus pulling Washington in. That seems to be something, one or the other. And the governor broke this news. He actually posted a video on his Telegram channel on this. And yeah, they're targeting, they hit civilians. Incredible. And so there's unverified footage. We'll call it unverified so far. Initial footage at the scene showing projectiles lodged in the road, as well as cars battered by shrapnel, etc. So there have been attacks here. This is not good. And we've got injuries, amazing, houses hit. I mean, what are they thinking? This is the opposite of what any logical or sane party would be doing in a conflict where they're completely outmatched. I can only conclude, ladies and gentlemen, I can only conclude there's nothing to gain by Ukraine from doing this unless the objective is to provoke a response from Russia that would hit a target inside of a NATO country like Poland or Romania or one of the Baltics, that would provoke Russia, thus triggering the ultimate escalation and putting us right into World War III. Would the regime in Kiev do this? Would the Nazis, these crazed people, corrupt, crazed nihilists, would they do that? Would they try to provoke a Russian reaction that would pull the United States fully into a direct war with Russia? Would they be so craven? Yes. You have to believe the answer is yes, because these are people that have been filling their pockets with U.S. dollars and then press ganging young men of 17, 18, 19, and old men as old as 60, forcing them into service, press ganging them into service, throwing them at the front line in the trenches of Bakhmut, where the average life expectancy is somewhere around 6 hours. That's how craven these people are in Kiev and Lviv. They don't care. The death count on the Ukrainian soldier side just keeps going up and up and up. They don't care. They're treating their own like cannon fodder. This is the mark of complete psychopathy. And you have to believe that's what you're dealing with here. And anyone in that frame of mind that would do that, knowing that there will be no material gain at the end, only death, that would sacrifice so many of their own countrymen in a known losing battle, okay, watch their country burn to ash and then believe that they're going to one day rule over it. I told you about the Sun Tzu quote from The Art of War. This is what we're witnessing now. And this comical vaudevillian puppet, this little man, this kind of quasi vaudeville Napoleon type character, pantomime. You should be in a local panto troupe touring Britain or something like that, doing pantomime, doing drag shows, Vladimir Zelensky. But no, he was doing drag shows. Now he's not. He's doing war. Is this crazy? Oh, is this really happening, ladies and gentlemen? Unfortunately, it seems like it is. Look, we're going to break here. Top of the hour news headlines coming up. We've got more, much more on the other side. So stay right there. I'm your host, Patrick Henningsen. See you in a bit.